Good day, everyone. Thank you for letting me join you, even though I can't do it in person. My name is Russell Leong. I'm editor of the CUNY Forum, which I established for the Asian American Asian Research Center a number of years ago. Why don't we start with that image right behind my head, No Ban, No Wall, which was taken by Anthony Wong downtown, and I think it was taken about 2 years ago after the presidential elections. It's really ironic that that image taken 2 years ago actually harkens to a lot of what we're talking about today, about citizenship, about who's in, who's out. And as I was thinking about this, it actually took me back almost 70 years to the establishment and creation of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the covenants that actually took place thereafter in the 70s. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights is one of the most translated documents in the world. I think it was translated into 500 languages. And basically what it covers are issues such as freedom of movement, equality before the law, the right to fair trial, freedom of association, protection of minority rights, the prohibition of torture, and so forth. Later on, there were covenants in the 1970s which covered political and cultural rights, including social protection, adequate standard of physical and mental well-being, and even notions of cultural citizenship. So today, even when we talk about citizenship on this panel, ideas around multiculturalism, globalization, and the right to reside, vote, actually in great part stem from the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights 70 years ago. So we're really taking the long view. So between this image, Ban the Wall, it's ironic that it's 70 years that we still have the need to protest. And so actually I should call this talk Ban the Wall rather than what I actually wrote down, which is CUNY Forum, creating communication across, against, and beyond borders. A number of years ago, taking our cue from artists, activists, scholars, I established the CUNY Forum for the Asian American Research Institute with the purpose of creating a platform, both print and electronic, that would help to question, reassess, and recreate past and current notions around culture, community, citizenship, gender, and nation. So today, in this short allotted time, I'm going to cover some of the people who and their ideas very briefly. And you could find them in Asian American Matters, a New York anthology. I'm just covering four people today, but you can find 40 people, actually, artists, academics, scholars, researchers, and so forth. And I think we have them for sale at a discount, so please reach into your wallets and support our project. Taking the long view, I wanted to actually hearken to what Erica Lee says in the introduction to this book, which we quote. She actually takes a transnational view of the history of Asians in America. That is the long view, which is about 250 years at least, beginning with the galleon trade and the beginnings of Spanish colonization, Asians in the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries encountered various types of legal exclusion, racism, and discrimination, which limited our choices to marry, to settle, and to worship. So Asian Americans have mattered in the Americas for a long, long time, even though, of course, after 9/11, it seemed that Asian Americans and Asians and Middle Eastern got into the front pages of the news. But we have been here a long time, and our problems and issues and concerns are both global and local. Erica Lee actually wrote The Making of Asian America, and she's quoted extensively in this book. That's the transnational optic. The second person I'd like to mention is Mustafa Bayoumi, a professor of English at Brooklyn College. He has the lead essay in the book. He's talking about the war on terror, Muslim, Islamic, and Asian American studies. His position is, he asks the question, should we include Islamic and Muslim studies within Asian American studies? Should Arabs, Muslims, people of Middle Eastern descent be added on to the kind of Asian American list? Is this really sort of an additive or geographical type of issue? And he argues that no. Basically, we need to look at Asian American studies from the position of political and cultural activism, and that basically Asian American studies has been and can be even more politically transformative. So that's a view that is holds currency and something that we need to think about. And we have responses also to his essay in Asian American Matters. The next person I'd like to talk about, he was actually named the Time Man of the Year, one of the humanitarians, last year. His name is Shahidul Alam. He's a Bangladeshi artist and activist. And he was the founder of DRIK, D-R-I-K. It was the first sort of photojournalistic institute in Bangladesh, which trained young journalists and photographers to basically represent themselves, to represent people and communities in Bangladesh. The reason for doing it is because Shahidul felt that all too often Asians, especially from the South Asian continent, have been represented only as victims, victims of war, victims of flood, economic or other types of deprivation. And he felt that this is a very biased colonial type of view. So one of the important terms which Shahidul Alam coined is called majority world peoples. Get that? Majority world peoples, which means that Asian, South Asians, people from the global south and elsewhere are really the majority. So this term, majority world peoples, is kind of in counterpoint to the older terms like third world or people from developing nations, which Shahidul felt was actually condescending and colonial. So, of course, Bangladeshi people and other people are part of majority world peoples. The question, of course, to ask are Asian Americans who are a minority in the U.S., should we be also considered part of majority world peoples? That is, if we, of course, align ourselves with the rest of the Asians in the world. But that's for, you know, I can't really answer that question, but you can think about it. But the term, I think, is important. For most of our history in America, Asians have been seen as a minority people. But really, maybe we are part of majority world peoples, which would give us, I think, a lot more confidence in who we are, what we can do, and our kind of place in the global world. So that's why I wanted to mention his name. He actually has a poem in here, and it's about environmentalism and saving a certain part of Bangladesh from too much development, pollution, and so forth. So Alam has been an environmental activist as well as a political one. And I think that's why he was one of the people selected by Time Magazine as a man of the year. The fourth person I'd like to mention, Ming Xia, is a political scientist at the graduate school here at CUNY. Ming Xia was actually sort of kicked out of China, wasn't allowed to go back. But he was very interested in still looking at what's happening to the Chinese. That led him to look at the Chinese diaspora and the Chinese in Southeast Asia. And from there, he actually began to look at India and also the role of Islam in Southeast Asia. And he approaches Islam from the viewpoint of a scholar. He's not a believer himself. What Deming Xia says is that when we talk about Asia, we cannot just talk about China. We have to talk about India. And one of the terms which he actually uses, and I never actually heard before until I read his essay, which is in Asian American Matters, Ming Xia says we should actually look at something called Zoomia Studies. That's Z-O-M-I-A. I'm sure some of you are familiar with it. And it actually comes from the word Z-O-M-I. Zumi, which is means Highlander. It actually refers to the peoples of the Tibetan, Indo-Tibetan plateau, includes some people from India, Bangladesh, Burma, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and it kind of encompasses about a million miles and many types of people. This term was actually coined fairly recently in 2002 by a Dutch scholar, Zoomia Studies. It's a little bit contested, but the basic argument is that people move to the highlands, to the mountainous areas, and the control of power, the government, stayed in the lowlands because, of course, it's easier to rule a country. So Zoomia Studies implies that there are marginalized peoples all over Asia who are not necessarily tied in with the central government. And this is a big factor in when we actually talk about Asia. It's not just Japan, Korea, China, and so forth. We need to look at other countries, other regions, especially Southeast Asia. Now, you know, I mentioned these four people, Erica Lee, Mustafa Bayoumi, Shahido Alam, and Ming Xia. Now, what does it have to do with Asian Americans? Basically, I argued that today, Asian American is not only a local term, but it's a global term. And we are citizens, some of us, or not, of the U.S., but we are also, in a sense, larger global citizens. And so basically, these people have actually given us different notions of, from a longer perspective, a broader perspective, of what it means to be Asian in the world, whether East Asian, South Asian, marginalized Asian, Highlander, Lowlander, and so forth. So I think they throw out very provocative ideas and notions. And when we tie that notion of who we are as Asians to notions of human rights, especially around what I just quoted from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I think we have a lot to think about and a lot to talk about here, and I'm glad to be part of this event, panel, project, and hopefully we can have new definitions and new ways of critically looking at ourselves and looking at the world. And hopefully the world can look at us a little differently too, as part of majority world people.